Hi, everybody. This is Tim Brennan with TacticsTime.com, and today I have a very special guest, Paul Anderson. Thanks for joining me today, Paul.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, Tim.
Oh, you're welcome. So why don't we start off, you can tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you got into playing chess.
Sure, yeah, I have been playing chess probably about 14 years now, and so I got sort of a late start. I guess a lot of the tournament players start when they're kids, and I started well after college, but it actually started because of email had come about in the early 90s, and I got an account from the university, and anyway, that account they kept active after you graduated, so I would stop by the university to check my email, and if I didn't get any email, it was kind of a wasted trip. So my idea was I would play chess against my dad and my sister to make sure every time I went, I would have an email.
Wow, that's interesting. That's funny. Huh. So basically you got into playing correspondence chess so you'd always have an email when you went to go check your email.
It was text based, so it was just like a, you know, capital letters were white and lowercase letters were black, and I'd just make a little board, and then you'd type in the algebraic moves, and I'd send it to my dad, and he'd adjust the board and put his move in, and my sister did it too one game, and my dad, and I liked it and kept playing it.
So you weren't even using, like, algebraic notation or anything like that?
Well, no, yeah, you would use algebraic notation. You know, you'd have like a little text board, and then below the text board you would have the algebraic notation. So it wasn't quite a PGN file, but it was looked similar. But it had like a text-based board, and then it had the algebraic notation below it.
Okay, I got it. So it's kind of like an ASCII art board kind of thing. And
I don't know if anybody remembers the old Telnet servers.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. You know, a scrolling text board would. You know, but it was just an email.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I mean, especially these days because people are complaining, you know, they got too much email and, you know, stuff like that. So that's great. So how'd you make the transition to tournament chess and stuff like that?
So I actually beat my dad first time I played him, beat my sister the first time I played him. He, I guess, kind of was mad and wanted to win. So we played again, and she quit. So I still would get emails from him, and then he beat me, like, the next four games. And that's when I realized, well, I needed to get better at chess.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going to the Colorado Springs Chess Club.
Okay.
And that's how – and then after playing, like, a couple months there, they told me, yeah, you should join and play these tournament chess games too.
Uh-huh. So what were the steps you took to get better at chess?
Well, initially, I just started playing a lot. And so to get better to beat my dad, I started playing at the club and just playing through a lot of mistakes I was making. And then also playing online through, like, that Telnet server.
Uh-huh.
But I found I liked playing over the board better than online because of all the problems you get online.
Right. Huh. Well, that's cool. So what was it about chess that you liked the best?
Well, I mean, I liked the challenge. I liked, being able to compete in a sense against somebody and try and improve. So, you know, the tournaments, getting involved in the tournaments was, you know, very attractive. And I always felt I could get better and just slowly kept improving. And so that sort of kept me going was the fact that I did see improvement. And my dad and I were very close. And when he would get beat, he would sort of focus on his game, and then I would lose one. And so our match, the whole time we were playing, was very even. It wasn't until just recently that I started winning more often and not losing to him, and winning and drawing at least.
Yeah, I saw some of your games. I mean, you guys had some really long games. I mean, I think a couple of the games were even like over 100 moves long. I mean, they were real battles.
Yeah, and that was a fun game to play against him because, you know, I looked at the position and I thought, well, this could be drawish, but I had given, he gave me a book called Reuben Fine's Basic Chess Endings. And so it explained about, you know, if you have a pawn and a bishop and it's the right, you know, square, it's not going to, and he has a bishop and it's the right square where you can queen, then it's, yeah, very complicated, very long ending, but there are certain things you can do to win it. And so I did, you know, I sort of looked up that, how to play that ending from Reuben Fine and used it to beat him, which, of course, he had actually given me this thing for Christmas.
That's cool.
And that was one of the games where we had met on vacation, and it was up in Glenwood Springs, actually, at that Hot Springs Lodge. And I told him that I was going to win this, you know, and so we actually played it out at the hotel, and he realized it was forced win, and he resigned. So it didn't quite go as long as it could have, and but it was over 100 moves.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long game. So you went from all the way from being a beginner to all the way to being the club champion, right?
Yeah, last year was the first year I ever won the club championship, which is a lot of Class A expert-type players.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a tough tournament to play in, and I usually don't do very well in it, but I finally did well enough. Perfect. You have to win every game usually to win this thing, and I finally did it and won it last year.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's, you know, it was something I didn't realize, you know, that meant as much to me until I won it, and then I realized, yeah, this was, you know, a nice thing to have completed that, you know, I played in it 14 years in a row and finally won the thing.
Wow, that's great. That's really good persistence, you know, on your part. And sounds like, I mean, you've gone all the way from basically a beginner to you're what, like a strong A player, expert level.
Yeah. I guess technically, or I don't know the official rating, but the USCF used to call it Advanced A. And so I was close to expert, and I've gone over expert once. But I'm struggling to get back there now. And, of course, you know, chess, other things in your life affect how you play, so it's not always easy to play your best.
So what would you, what advice would you give somebody who wants to go from being a beginner to an expert? I mean, you've shown that that's a reasonable goal, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I think it can be done, and there are things that, you know, when I started playing chess, I had heard, which sort of put these imaginary obstacles in my way. You know, for, like, I started, I think, when I was in my close to 30, when I started playing chess, and one of the things I'd heard is, well, you're going to peak at 35. You can't, once you hit 35, your mental ability is going to go down, and that's going to be your highest rating.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that wasn't true. And then also I heard, somebody had said, well, you can get to about 1,800 without studying openings, and you can do that. But once trying to get it above 1,800, you have to know the openings. Well, I still haven't studied openings yet, and so that's not true either. So I think the main thing that I did, which, you know, you now have access to, was to get a chess program, a database, and put your games in, and to go over them with, you know, either a computer or with somebody else. It's easiest with a computer because then you can do that anytime you want. But to go over your games and having a database to store them and be able to go over them, I think was a turning point for me getting much better.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that because you sent me your database, and I was really impressed at how meticulous it was and how far it went back, and you know how you have all your games, and you want to just go into a little more detail about how you did that if someone listening wanted to kind of repeat what you did.
Yeah, I mean, initially you have to learn, I have to, algebraic notation, you have to know how to record your game. And, you know, if you play in rated tournaments, they'll give you score sheets and, you know, you just record it. And so that's initially how I started, was I recorded these games and I just saved them because I wasn't really motivated to go. If I lost, you know, I was too depressed about the game to want to go over it. And if I won, you know, I just figured I was the greatest thing in the world. What do I need to go over games for? But when I finally got a computer database, as you enter it in, it will actually give you an assessment, a quick assessment of the position. You'll also see that your games that you lost necessarily weren't as bad as you thought. And the games that you won were a lot of mistakes you made that your opponent didn't take advantage of, so you weren't as great as you thought.
Right.
So it brings you sort of into balance. And you realize, yeah, there's still lots of areas I can improve. And, you know, I started putting them all into the database. I went back and went through all the games, and every tournament game I ever played, I put them into the database. And then I also started, when I did a website, was to analyze the games and let the computer analyze it and really look more deeply at the games and what I was doing wrong and learning about where I make mistakes and what positions I do better in and what positions I don't, and then focusing on my strengths and then avoiding playing to my weaknesses. And just by doing that.
What would be an example like of something you learned through doing the computer analysis that you might not have realized otherwise that you're able to fix and correct?
Well, some of the computer analysis, you can see that sometimes it's your opponent. You know, if you play the same person regularly, some people you do better against than others. And then if you realize that some of that comes out of their style of play, you know, if you're a positional player and they're a positional player, well, you know, if you beat them all the time because they never create any tactics, well, you know, you realize that, yeah, you have a very strong positional sense and you can, you know, take advantage of real subtle things leading to the end game. But then if you play somebody else who's much lower rated than you and you have trouble against this person and it's because they play very tactically, well, then you realize, yeah, that's a weakness you have is the tactics. And somebody who's an attacking player, you know, will do much better statistically than they should against you. It's because he's taking advantage of that weakness you have. And the one specific example I can think of recently is there's this guy, Alex Torres, who, as long as I play really positionally and I play really solid, I beat him every time. But then if I get careless and I let it get real tactical, he gets a lot of wins against me. And so he's got a lot of, you know, my rating points he's taken from me because our rating, there's a big rating gap, and I shouldn't be losing to him as often as I do.
So, yeah, I've played him. He can be dangerous, you know.
He's got a very, I mean, I like his spirit. He's just, you know, he sort of never gives up. He doesn't mind losing material. He doesn't get depressed when he throws away something. He'll just keep attacking, and often it pays off.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Huh. Well, that's interesting. So, I think I remember reading when you were preparing for the club championship, you did some like home preparation against some of the people you were likely to play. Is that true? And can you share any advice about how you went about that?
Well, and that again was basically using the database that I had. Once I have, you know, I had 500 games that I've played over 14 years. And when you're playing this club championship, it's easier to know. It's not you don't play all your games in one day. You play one game a day each week. So you, each week you get a break, and you kind of know who you're going to play and what color you're going to be.
Right.
So you can go and you can go into your database and say, well, how, let's just filter for this particular player. And I did that against Dan Avery. I looked up every game I played against Dan Avery, and I found the ones. There was a couple, only a couple in there. And I found the ones where I won, and I figured out, well, you know, if I can get him in time pressure, keep the game even, and, you know, focus on going into a very long end game and just keep it from getting too tactical, I have a better shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the preparation I did. Not really grandmaster type preparation, but it was just something to boost my confidence.
Right.
Yes, I can beat Dan, and here's how I can do it if I just play smart and focus on making a game as long as possible, and hoping that he will make a mistake towards the end game, which is where I was able to beat him before.
Do you look at other games, like between, like, that maybe like Buck publishes or other, you know what I mean? Not just necessarily against you, but maybe Dan Avery versus Tim Brennan or something like that.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that. I mean, my database obviously is I have easiest access to, but finding, yeah, games Dan played against other people is much more difficult. And then you also have to play it out by hand or put it into your own database.
Right.
Or if you collect other people's games, which is probably a good thing to do, you would have that.
Right.
So my databases are basically, I've got, you know, a million games from grandmasters, but then I also have like 500 of my own, and that's about
it. Right. So then you write a weekly newsletter. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I started just publishing online a website about chess and putting a game online, you know, taking games I played from my database and analyzing with my computer and putting them online and writing about the news, and I've done that now for 7 years. And that one that helped me to just regularly go over games because I had to pick a game each week to put out in my little blog.
Right.
And then also it people would give me their games too, which also now I do have a database of other people. That's not as big, but sometimes I'll get games from other people, and that'll go into another database I have as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's called the Colorado Springs Chess News, and it's basically just local news about events and local interest and humorous stuff about chess, just to continue to promote people coming to and playing chess in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I really enjoy your newsletter. You know, I think it's funny, and you know, you're always very reliable. You know, every Monday and Tuesday at the beginning of the week, you send it out, and definitely would encourage people to subscribe to that. I mean, even if you don't live in Colorado Springs or Colorado, you know,
chess players. Yeah, I mean, some chess players, if they find something they like, they'll keep with it. And I've got players from, you know, Norway and Italy,
oh, really?
And who are on the email list. And so I now know how to read, I think, I don't know, it was either Swedish or Norwegian. I get an auto reply from this guy every time he's not, you know, at work, and the email doesn't go right to him. And it's like, you know, it's tack for den mail. Is how you say thanks for the mail in Norwegian or Swedish. I forget where exactly he's from. But it's because his auto reply sends it back to me and says he's out of the office.
That's funny. That's great. So another fun thing you do is I've seen pictures. You play the monk chess. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, the chess as a monk is for a Renaissance festival that occurs here in Colorado, Larkspur, Colorado, and it's just a way to promote chess by playing attendees of the Renaissance Fair in a game, and they pay $1, and we put prizes up. If they win, they get the prize. If they lose, we get the dollar. We keep the dollar.
So you win almost all your games there, I imagine? Or?
Yeah, it's probably the most ego-boosting atmosphere for chess because you win like 95% of the games, and it just shows you how much better tournament players are.
Right.
Because, yeah, you can't have that same winning percentage by consistently playing people who are playing in tournaments.
Right.
But at the Renaissance Festival, it's just so many people think they know what they're doing, but, yeah, miss some major things really easily.
So then you crush their ego, and then they never want to play again.
And, the people sometimes will show up at the Renaissance Festival, and, you know, it's a lot of kids, too. A lot of kids want to play. And every
right.
now and then you'll get an adult who likes to play.
Yeah.
And, if they have that, if they don't mind losing, if they have that spirit, they just keep playing over and over again, and then eventually they can get a win. So some of it is just persistence, and some people who they don't really like losing, don't really stick with chess too much.
So are you doing it like a simul, or are you just playing like one person at a time?
No, I will play two people at a time. Often it's just one game, but if you get two people who are interested, yeah, I'll play both boards at the same time.
Okay.
And I play up to maybe four people at once at the Renaissance Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been to the Renaissance Festival. I need to check that out. When's that start? Later in the summer?
It's 8 weeks. Usually it's June and July.
Mm-hmm.
Just the weekends. Saturday, Sunday, 8 weeks, June and July.
Okay. Yeah, I need to go check that out. So one other fun thing you do is you post a lot of videos where it's scenes about chess from different TV shows. Those are kind of fun. Are you recording those yourself, or where'd you get all those?
No, it's just the stuff is DVDs of like sitcoms or old shows. You're like, oh, there's a chess thing, and nowadays you can digitally capture that stuff fairly easily. My son does it, and then you just put a small clip on and share with people. it sort of highlights how chess is viewed by the mainstream media, filmmakers, TV makers, those kind of things. The one that video clip I put up there that's the most popular is actually Bob Newhart, the old Bob Newhart show from the 70s, where he's playing his neighbor in chess. And it's just like a 30-second clip, and it's just kind of a joke. And, but for some reason, it gets tons of hits on YouTube, and people seem to love that one.
What are some of the other shows you have on there?
Yeah, the other ones are like more serious chess players, like an interview with Bobby Fischer. That one's real popular.
Right.
Where, he is interviewed after is winning the 11th, world championship. He becomes 11th world champion, and he gets interviewed, and that one's real popular. And obviously it makes sense because chess players, a lot of, especially American chess players, know Bobby Fischer and are familiar with him and love to hear his stuff since he did so well at chess and then left so abruptly and didn't play for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And now, now with him gone, it's sort of a nostalgic thing as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Huh. Well, that's great. Very cool. Well, yeah, thanks for all your contributions, to chess. Those are all great stuff. So before we wrap this up, anything else you want to add?
Well, I guess the only thing I would say is that, I did put that database on the website that you can actually buy all my games for a penny a game, 500 games on the website. And I was surprised, I was surprised that you actually purchased it, but it sounds like you liked it.
Yeah, definitely.
People... can definitely learn how to manage a database from it and learn a little bit about chess as well. And so if anybody wants to buy it, it's there, and I'll leave it up, and anybody who wants to go there can get access to all my games.
Yeah, and I think those are some really good tips that you gave about, analyzing your own game and looking for the mistakes you're making and, not just assuming, hey, I won that game, there's nothing here for me to look at, So I think those are some great tips you shared there.
Sure. Well,
go ahead.
I appreciate, the way you've encouraged me. It was your suggestion to get on YouTube and to get on Facebook. And I've met a lot more chess players around the world because of some of your suggestions. So I do appreciate what you do as well.
I think next step for you would be get on Twitter. There's a lot of chess players on Twitter. And, you can just spit out a 140 character sound bite, whenever, you update your newsletter or something. I bet you could get some followers that way as well. That's kind of easy thing to do.
That might be the next step for me.
Yeah. Check that out.
Okay.
So, well, thanks again, Paul, for joining me. And, so this is, Tim Brennan with, TacticsTime.com, and thanks for listening.